6:47 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show with Christy Simone and Eddie A. Welcome to you all. Of course, we know that you're starting to see it out there, the Census 2020. Mm-hmm. And in the past, let's just say Tucson's probably had challenges of having people fill out the census and not getting the accurate information, which controls a lot of ways things get funded in the area. And as part of that discussion, we welcome Michael McDonald, CEO of the Community Food Bank. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Ed. Good to be with Tucson.
Hey, let's talk real quick before we get to census. Let's talk about, I always like when I have anyone from the food bank on, give me a little snapshot of the trends of who you're serving, how many folks you're serving. What's kind of give me the little state of the union for the food bank?
Yeah. I wish I could tell you that the economy has gotten better for everyone, but we're still seeing about 200,000 people a year in five counties, and that includes Pima County, Tucson. That's the bulk of the population. Most of our clients are employed. They're just underemployed, so they may have several jobs. They just don't have quite the wage to stretch the food budget, and they come and visit us once a month at most. And we see most of our clients, we'll see a lot of folks just one time a year and other folks up to nine times a year. So they're trying to use whatever resource they have to make ends meet. So we haven't seen a lot of change. I think the poverty rate in Tucson is still hovering around 20% plus or minus, depending on the source of the statistics. So we haven't seen a lot of change, and we see a lot of seniors on fixed income who are really struggling these days between health and food's a part of health. So I would say Tucson continues to be very generous. We're grateful for that, but we haven't seen a lot of change in the demand at the food bank.
When I look at your facts and figures page on your site, which you guys can follow along at communityfoodbank.org, I see the statistic for food insecure individual. What's the definition of that?
Yeah, it's folks who aren't certain. Is there a next meal? I mean, are they going to have three meals today? Are they going to eat tomorrow morning? And what's the quality of that meal? Are they watering it down? Are they stretching it out? So it's a definition from the USDA, Department of Agriculture, and it really is self-described. Are you at risk of not having a meal in the foreseeable future or several meals, or is the nutritional content for your kids just not what it needs to be for their brain development and attention at school and becoming good residents in the city of Tucson?
What is a item of food that there's a need for, that you see that it there's a desperate need for your people that are using your services that you need more of? What is that kind of?
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for that question. Generally people always struggle to be able to buy fresh perishable foods. Thankfully, we have an overabundance of that right now between getting fresh produce from Mexico that would go to waste in landfills or USDA being able to provide some fresh dairy and meat proteins. So we're pretty good with fresh produce and meat proteins. I think people still very much appreciate the staples that comes in cans and bags, whether it's beans or it's pastas or it's cereal, peanut butter, those kinds of things, those staples that can exist on a shelf for a period of time. People always need those, and those are very much appreciated.
So I'll ask one of those dumb questions. Why is the census 2020 and people participating in it more, why is this important to you guys? Not dumb. I think I know the answer, but why is this important to a place like the Community Food Bank?
I think it's important for the whole community, including the food bank. Really, the Community Food Bank exists because of charitable giving, and we work in five counties, and 70% of our support comes from just people sending in, local folks sending in cash, providing local food. Government's a piece of that, but what government does that we can't do and will never be able to do is get food into schools. So the National School Lunch and Breakfast Program, that is based upon the census data. That's hugely critical. Housing subsidies, hugely critical. A lot of our clients struggle sometimes to pay for food, but they might struggle with utility bills, and there's some subsidy that is available to them. So these are things beyond just the four walls of the food bank, and if that stuff went away, man, families would really be struggling. Working class families would really be struggling. We saw that about 15 months ago in that federal shutdown. By paycheck number two, federal workers were hurting. And so it's not just folks living in poverty. It's folks just barely making ends meet.
Well, we know it's tough for Americans to think about actually saving money, even when you're making money. So I can see how even the government shutdown could affect some families like that.
Absolutely. So any of the health and human services that are provided by any nonprofit or local government in the city of Tucson and throughout Pima County is affected if we don't get a good census count, because that funding is locked in for 10 years. And every person that's not counted, it's probably $3,000 a year that goes away from services, health and human services. Everything from roads, you know, the federal roads or some of the health subsidies that are available, or housing or food security. These things are at risk, and charitable giving just can't make up that amount of money. It's a huge amount of money.
So why do people, have they talked to you guys about why people don't fill out the census?
Yeah, I think there's always the concern that the information is going to be not kept confidential, and it is. The Census Bureau has been doing this since 1790.
I know.
it's safe, it's secure. The information is not going to be shared with any other government entity. It's really just a count of who's in your household on that given date of April 1st, which is Census Day. I think the surveys start coming out to folks next week, at the end of next week, March 12th. And ideally, they would like people to respond by April 1st, but I think they've got through early May. This year is the only time that they've ever allowed for response by mail or online or by phone. So there's many ways for people to get that information to the Census Bureau. I think what we hear is people are concerned that somehow the prying eyes of government will find out all kinds of details. They're not going to be asking Social Security number. They're not going to ask for bank accounts. They're not asking for that kind of information. They just want an accurate count of who is living in each household in our community.
You know, first and foremost, right, if families get this census survey in the mail, right, that's always going to be tough for them. I got to sit down and fill this out. Oh, I got to walk this to the post office.
Right.
That's a problem in the first place because, you know, they got a new show on Netflix they got to binge, dude. I don't know if they can get that to the mail, you know. Well. And then some guy or dude or gal is going to be knocking on my fence and I got to talk to somebody. Ugh.
You can avoid all that by filling that thing out. Going online, calling in. And every time you sit and watch a binge on Netflix, you never get paid. You know, you get the community gets paid when we each fill out the census. That money comes back right to the community to support neighbors in need and just help the overall welfare of the community.
So let me ask you this question. We know there's a lot of great nonprofit folks, organizations like yourself, right? Youth on Their Own, Gap Ministries, all these.
Oh, yeah.
Course, what Gospel Rescue is doing at the Center for Opportunity against a kind of a growing wave still, right, of this poverty and insecurity. And, you know, we always say give the person, you know, teach them how to fish and they'll learn, you know, instead of just giving them the fish. Are we starting to make that transition to trying to, you know, convert more of these people into kind of helping themselves? What's that trend right now? Or is it just the wave so great that we're just barely feeding people in a way?
It's interesting. That's a great question. A little bit loaded, but I think it's a both and.
I only ask loaded questions, Michael.
I know you do. And those are the good ones. You know, those agencies that you mentioned and many others, about 400 across southern Arizona we work with. So we're providing food to Gap and Gospel Rescue. So it's really an ecosystem or a network of partners helping each other. And we are definitely feeding people in need. And you're right about that. It's just a tidal wave. It hasn't diminished and it continues because of the persistence of poverty. However, all of us increasingly are looking at the root causes. And you know, I got to say, in the food bank, we've been here four plus decades. We're saying that, grandmothers need to eat and they need to feed their grandchildren today. That must be done. That's the right thing to do. We have so many people, though, are just saying, hey, I need to stretch my income.
Right.
And if I can use food as an economic driver. So we have a culinary arts program. People are growing food at a urban farm that we have or backyard gardening. They're selling at farmers markets, some that we manage and others that are managed by for-profit businesses. That, feeding people's income and opportunity, educational opportunity, that addresses the root cause. And we're increasingly doing that. Probably about 20,000 people a year are are participating in that kind of root cause work, our clients here in just the Tucson area. So I think that needs to scale, and it's just a little bit more costly and time consuming to do that. It's sometimes easier to hand out a box of food or provide a shelter bed, and even that's all difficult to make happen, than it is to stay with someone for a long period of time, get them the training, education, and economic opportunities they really need so they never come back to the food bank line. That's our goal.
Mike, we always appreciate all the work you and the food bank are doing. And remember, all you folks, census2020.gov, so you don't have to have anyone like Mike knocking on your door saying, hey, bro, fill out the census.
Absolutely. Let's bring that money home. We all need it.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call and keep doing
Take
the good
care,
work.
Chris. Thank you. Bye now.
All right, that's Michael McDonald, CEO of Community Food Bank.